Thank you. This morning, we are thinking about peace. We are asking in a world of conflict and competition, in a culture of identity crisis, where can I find peace? This Advent, we have been preparing ourselves for the coming King, getting ready for Jesus. Last week, we considered the hope that we have in God, that there is an eternal kingdom which is coming and which is yet to come, where tomorrow is better than today, where the best day that there has ever been is still to come. A hope that was born at Christmas, won by Christ and founded in his promises. This evening, we're going to be back here at 6:30, and you're invited to come along too, slowing down and acknowledging that there are many in this world who are experiencing darkness and loss and pain and grief. And we will be reflecting together on the Christ who came to shine in the darkness. Next Sunday morning at our all-age service, we'll be thinking about the joy of the Lord, and at our carol service in the evening, we'll be celebrating the love that came down at Christmas. We're hoping to do tea and coffee and mince pies after the carol service. If you're able to bring some mince pies for us to serve, that would be great. If you can bring them in the morning so that they're ready for the evening, that would be absolutely fantastic. And also for next Sunday evening, I have a couple of scripture readings for that service, that if you would like to give a scripture reading, please see me after the service today, and I'll pass that to you. Again, all of these great opportunities to invite family members, friends, neighbours. I don't really want any of these invitations left after Christmas. So please take some and pop them through your neighbours' doors or hand them out to those that you know. There's also the details of the Family Fun Day happening on Saturday and the Christmas Eve Nativity happening on Christmas Eve. But back to today. Today we are thinking about peace. About getting ready for the coming King, for Jesus, who is called the Prince of Peace. And I guess the place to start is for us to understand together what peace is, to have a shared understanding of it. Because peace in English just simply means the absence of conflict, right? It is a neutral term. It is not the opposite of war, it is the lack of it. But biblical peace is not neutral. You might know the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And shalom is not neutral, it is a positive force. Shalom is completeness. It's similar to holiness, being whole, being one, being ready. Shalom is about well-being. It's about working for the good of the other. If conflict is negative and if our English understanding of peace is neutral, shalom is the positive. It is a force for good, and it is a gift of God. When God speaks through the prophet Isaiah, reminding his people of his lordship and power, God says, I bring shalom, I bring peace, and create disaster. In Psalm 73, biblical peace is used to describe prosperity and plenty. In Psalm 4, it means physical safety. Laying down in peace, in shalom, knowing you are safe from physical harm. It's used in Joshua 9, where two nations forge a treaty with one another, not just to indicate that they're not going to go to war anymore, but also to set out where and when they will work together for the good of one another, where they will proactively help each other. There is, in the use of this word shalom, a sense of soundness, of nothing being wrong, of completeness, of righteousness, of being right with God. And the hope that God's people had as they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, is not merely that there would be no more war. Because the truth is, the Romans had already done that for them. The Romans had come and invaded, and there wasn't war anymore. In that sense, the land was peaceful. But it remained far from perfect. They were looking forward to something that was better than just a lack of conflict, a renewed whole, perfect relationship with God reforged. What they were looking for was their nation not only free from war, but thriving as the people of God and living according to his laws. And the one who would reign on David's throne, the promised king, is the one who would make it all happen. And we know, don't we, that when the king did come, he came to forge a slightly different kind of peace than what they were expecting. He came to bring shalom, but not by stamping out all opposition. Rather, he came to bring peace by making a way for broken relationships to be set right. And the hope that we have today as we await his return, as we prepare our hearts for the Prince of Peace, is that he will bring his kingdom in which everything will be as it should. Everything will be complete and perfect. Now, we're going to use our imaginations a little. For some of you, that's going to be difficult, but we're going to try. You have to imagine for me that this hula hoop is the whole of creation exactly as it should be. Now, in an ideal world, the hula hoop would be round, but this particular hula hoop spent a number of years supporting the reef that is at the back of our church. And over time, it became slightly misshapen, which is why it's the shape it is now. It has been replaced, but it's found a new life as an illustration for me this morning. So we're imagining that it is a perfect circle, complete and sound and proper, exactly as it should be. And this is everything that is as God created it to be, everything at peace. The state of the hula hoop, round and connected, is shalom. It is one, it is proper, it is well, it is safe. What God made the world to be. And then we know the story from Genesis, don't we? That people, that's us, decided and continue to decide to do things our own way rather than God's way. And the peace was fractured. Broken. So everything doesn't have that shalom, that completeness anymore. There is a rift, there is damage, there is a problem. Our sin, our selfishness, our choosing of our own way rather than God's has damaged our peace, our shalom. And we await Jesus' return. We look forward to it. We hope for it. Because when he returns, because of who he is and what he has done, he is going to restore shalom to the all that has been made. He is the Prince of Peace. And this little blue thing, this is my Jesus piece. Because he will restore things to as they were. And so everything doesn't have that shalom currently. But peace, in a biblical sense, is a bit like perfection. It's about completeness. It's about things being the way that they should be, the way that God wants them to be. And so, of course, a lack of war is part of that, but it's not all there is. A lack of conflict is part of peace, but it's not anywhere near the whole. And when Jesus speaks to his followers about peace, this completeness, this shalom, he makes it intensely personal. It's not just about the way in which the whole world is going to change, although it is about that. It's about you and me. It's about each of us as individuals knowing and experiencing peace. Of course, it must be for the world to be at peace. Each one of us who is part of the world needs to be at peace too. So that's what I want us to think about for the time we have left this morning, the peace that Jesus promises and what it means for each of us. We're going to think about how it impacts our relationships with God, with our feelings about ourselves, with our relationships with one another. Jesus brings peace with God. If sin has broken the peace, the goodness, the completeness of our relationship with God, Christ Jesus made a way to restore it. Isaiah 53, looking forward to the man that Jesus would be, says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we're healed. The punishment that has brought us peace was on him. The first words that the angel brings to both Mary and to Joseph are, do not be afraid, be at peace. Because Jesus is coming, because the Savior is nearly here, because you are about to be part of the greatest story of redemption the world has ever known. When God gave instructions for the tabernacle, there was a thick curtain set in place between the Holy of Holies, God's dwelling place among his people, and the rest of the world. When the temple was built, the curtain remained a dividing line between God and us, a sign of the brokenness of our relationship with him. But when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn in two. As the start of John's gospel so eloquently puts it, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Biblical peace is not neutral, right? Jesus did not just win our forgiveness at the cross. He did that. He ended the conflict. Yes, his sacrifice means that we can be set free from sin. But he didn't leave us in a neutral place. It did so much more than that. We do not go from being God's enemies to some middle ground where we have no relationship with him at all. The Prince of Peace on the cross made a peace between God and humanity that took us from being his enemies to being his adopted children. Jesus has set right the relationship between creation and creator, and now we can have true peace, a properly loving relationship with God. And from this right relationship with God, from the shalom of prosperity, protection, and peace that we have with him, flows peace into every other area of our lives. And so we can, with that relationship with God set right, we can be at peace within ourselves. There's this wonderful moment recorded in Luke 2 when the infant Jesus is brought to the temple and there are these two people that they meet there. There's Anna, a prophet who praised God on seeing Jesus, and there is Simeon, a man full of the Holy Spirit who had been told that he would see the Messiah before his death. And on taking the infant Jesus in his arms, Simeon says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Simeon in that moment is content. God's promise to him is fulfilled and he wants nothing more. I have all I need. The gift of peace that Jesus promises his disciples is that their hearts might not be troubled or afraid. It is a stilling of internal conflict, of worry, of jealousy, of confusion and fear. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells his followers not to worry about the future, not to worry about what might or might not be, because our Lord has control of eternity. Shalom, our peace with ourselves, is a holy contentedness that does not strive for what we do not have, but is thankful for what we do. You see, I think part of the problem is that when the way things were supposed to be was damaged, was torn apart like my hula hoop, which is gone, we lost the peace within ourselves. When all that was damaged, we no longer feel complete. Deep down, we know we are broken, missing something, and so we constantly try to bridge that gap. We try to make ourselves complete. We try to find peace, contentedness again within ourselves by buying stuff or doing stuff that's supposed to make us happy. We think if we have a little bit more, a little more money, a few more friends, that broken gap will be healed and we'll be at peace. We think that if we can just change ourselves a little bit, if we can just be a bit thinner, a bit more toned maybe, if we can just have that six-pack that the child wrote on his star that he desperately wanted the other week, we might be able to make ourselves happy, content. It's never going to work. There will always be something else, something more if I just had that. Maybe it'll last. The only person that can completely bridge that gap, that can bring wholeness to us, is God, the one who originally made us all in his image. And so for us to be truly at peace, we need the peace, the contentment, the completeness that Jesus promised his followers through the Holy Spirit that flows from a relationship with him. There are all sorts of different forms of identity crisis that we are all suffering with. We don't know what it means to live in community because we don't know what it means to live within myself even. Who am I? What do I need to be? And the answer always comes first and foremost in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. You are made in the image of the Eternal Father. All the other stuff we can work out afterwards. You're a child of God, beloved. And from there we lead into what is maybe the easiest kind of peace for us to understand, the peace we have with others. The story of Jesus coming includes the words of the angel that make peace in the relationship between Joseph and Mary. What could have ended in divorce and brokenness between Joseph and Mary was made stable and strong by God's messenger. Do not divorce her. Take her as your wife. As Paul commands the Colossian church to be kind and compassionate to each other, to be patient and to forgive, he says, let the peace of Christ rule. When he's writing to the church in Ephesus, which was divided in much the same way as the church in Rome, which we've been thinking about together, between Jew and Gentile, he speaks of the way in which Jesus has made peace. He has healed the wounds in a relationship that was once hostile. The way of Christ is the way of forgiveness and unity rather than bitterness and division. Remember in Romans 12, Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. And remember, peace is not neutral. It is not the absence of conflict. To live as best you can at peace with others is not simply to walk by that person that really aggravates you instead of kicking them in the shins. To live at peace means wholeness, it means something good, it means something great, it means relationships of love that build one another up. So it should work out in our relationships with those who annoy or upset us. It might mean this year forgiving Aunt Agnes and finally inviting her to Christmas dinner. It might mean sending a card to your Uncle Ian to try and mend fences. It might mean today walking across to the other side of this church this morning and offering a hand to shake. Jesus commanded that we love our enemies. And true peace in our relationship with others is about making that relationship complete again. It is about love. It is about healing what is broken. And it's always been about love. It is the love of God that caused him to send Jesus to die for us, to mend the brokenness of the world, that one day there might once again be a kingdom of true peace. Peace in our relationships, in all of them, is about love. It means putting the other first, being committed to them, working for their good, working hard for them, no matter what they do or say. This is how we make our relationships complete, how we seek to live at peace with everyone. And all this, peace in our relationships with God, within ourselves, with one another, then becomes a reflection of the coming kingdom of the Prince of Peace. It becomes an echo of the future that we are waiting for. It becomes a glimpse of the kingdom of God, which is to come in the here and now. It's easy, I think, to read scripture and to read about Jesus being the Prince of Peace and to feel overwhelmed then when we look at the news and see the amount of conflict in this world. And you think, how do we be people of peace that make a difference to what's going on in Ukraine? And well, actually, it starts with you being people of peace and making peace in the relationships with those people around you. By all means, vote, protest, use your political sway that you have to do what you can. But if we live, if all of God's people live and work as people of peace in our own relationships, the coming kingdom of God will have a larger and larger impact on the world in which we live. The kingdom we are promised, according to Isaiah 2, is not just a day when wars will cease. It is a day when wars will cease and the weapons of war will be forged into tools of growth. It is a day when peace on earth, according to the angels, is a reflection of the glory of the heavens. It is a day when all things on earth and in heaven will be finally reconciled to God through Christ Jesus, when the brokenness of all creation will once more be made complete. Peace, biblical peace, shalom, is not the absence of conflict. And I think the best word we have for it in English is harmony. When all is right with the world, when life is not just okay, but when it is wonderful, when our relationships with God, with ourselves, with each other are very good. And so today, I finish by asking you again, is your heart ready for the coming King, for the Prince of Peace? As we enter this season of preparation, I wonder what part of your life could be more peaceful. Maybe you need to come back before Father God and you need to repent and you need to seek his forgiveness and make peace with God. Maybe you need to be reminded today of the value that you have in Christ Jesus, of his love and care for you. Maybe you need to practice thankfulness and contentment to find that peace within yourself. Or maybe for you today, there is a broken relationship that you need to fix, where you need to forgive someone or seek forgiveness, to begin the work of making peace with others. I wonder what you might need to do to make your heart ready for the coming King this week. Let me pray. Father God, we praise and thank you for Christ Jesus, who came to bring shalom to this world. Who came not just to end conflict and the things that have gone wrong, but to make something wonderful. To bring a peace that sets things right and can make our relationships with God, with ourselves, with one another very good. I pray now today, if there are people here who need to reset their relationship with you, Lord God, that you would be at work within their hearts. Show them what it is within them that they might need to repent of. Assure them of your love and your forgiveness. And if there are people here today who need to know how much you love them, how valued they are by you, to reset their own identity as first and foremost your child. Fill them with your spirit, Lord God, that they might know that they belong to you. And Father, if there are those here today that need to rebuild relationships, to seek forgiveness or to forgive others, I pray you would give them the courage to take that step today. That we might be people of peace, people of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Amen.